Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
And then we're going to talk for a little bit, all right? We got nothing else to do, all right? So I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Many of you are familiar that this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' greatest sermon that he's given. It's chapters 5 through 7. We're going to look at chapter 6. But Jesus is actually telling us what the people of God are like, and that the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this world. And so we do weird things, like we love our enemies, that we're quick to forgive, that we're generous, that we're loving. And so these are things that that take place in the kingdom and in God's people. And so I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, and it's how we're called as the kingdom of God to handle difficult situations. And here's what it goes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says this. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing?" I made my daughter memorize that verse. It says, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So here's what can we agree that our nation and our lives have drastically changed in the last 72 hours? Like, I just cannot believe how in 3 short days, how the world has been turned upside down, or at least our world. Interesting. I've noticed a lot of things in my own personal life. Like, how many have become much more aware of personal hygiene? Like have you ever, you've done that thing where you're trying, like you're washing your hands, and then you realize you grab the remote control and you're like, "Oh," and then you got to do it again. And then you realize, "Oh, I've touched the door," or "I've touched this." And have you felt like the impossibility of trying to keep clean? Just me? Okay. It's like impossible. You'll drive yourself crazy trying to do it all. And then amidst the fear and the panic and everything that you see on the media, and then I thought, well, surely I can get a reprieve. I'll just watch a little Sports Center. Da 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 da. Oh yeah, there's no sports. And so all the sports networks are just talking about Corona, Corona, Corona. It's funny. Like, you can't run. You can't hide from this thing. But wait, maybe we'll find some reprieve if we go out to the grocery store. And so if you're like me, like you went to the grocery store and you thought, oh, my goodness, it's the zombie apocalypse. Like, something has happened. And I just remember my shock. Has anyone like you like to, like, I understand how people want to make sure they're prepared and doing all that, but seriously, like, how many rolls of toilet paper do you need to live on? You know, like, that is, I just thought that was so funny. As a people, you know, it's not about food and all that, but it's about the toilet paper if we're going to hunker down in our house. And then when I went shopping, my wife and I were like, I started feeling like, man, I want to make sure, am I being an irresponsible husband? And so my wife and I, we went out to Wegmans down the street, and so we went there, and we were shopping, and here was the funniest thing. For whatever reason, we just, we felt the license to get junk food. You know, it was like, we usually eat really strict and tight, but we're like, hey, those potato chips will last a decade, all right? And so we're getting chips. We got all this garbage, and we just feel justified in doing it now, you know? And did you pay attention when you went to the stores? Because shelves were cleaned out. But what was hysterical is you just know, like, there's certain foods that the whole thing was left. Like you go, like, there's a whole section of kale chips. You got paleo mac and cheese. No one's touched it. And people are like, I would rather starve than eat that garbage, you know? And so I just thought that was kind of funny. All the frozen vegetables were gone, but okra. Like, frozen okra was still there. We're like, nah, we'll die. You got to laugh to keep from crying, you know? Like, some things, I just found myself, my anxiety, the more media I took in, I became more and more anxious. And then when I went to the grocery store, I became more and more anxious, and I felt this stuff building up on the inside of me. And it was interesting. I was watching CNN again, and they had someone on from the CDC, and I was just so grateful to catch this snippet where this gentleman very calmly said, hey, it's going to be okay. You don't need 6 months of toilet paper. You're going to be able to go out. And I just remember it was just kind of like oxygen to my life to hear somebody say, it's going to be okay. And I want you to hear from the Lord today. It's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be better than okay, because this is the moment where the church will rise up. This is the moment, like, this is our time to shine. Back in my playing days, when I was in the minor leagues before going professional, there was a hockey player on my team. I won't say his name in case he's watching. But this was the greatest player I've ever seen in my life. And I've played against Gretzky and some of these guys. I'm like, this dude is better than Gretzky. This guy's amazing in practice. And then I saw him get into the game, and he wasn't playing like Wayne Gretzky. He was playing like Janet Gretzky. All right, and so when the bright lights were on and then it was time to play for real, it was amazing. He went into the shell, and this is our time to shine. Bible studies, connect groups are amazing, but this is the real deal. And when times get darkest, that's when the light of the world brights, it's blindingly bright. And so do you know that it's always been that way for the church? This is not a new thing, this pandemic. It's hit our globe before. In fact, back in the third century, you remember the plague, it spread throughout the Roman Empire. Fear and panic was everywhere. And do you know who rose to preeminence in that time? That's when every other pagan religion was weeded out, and Jesus stood central, and the church rose up to prominence. And that's what we're going to do in this season. There's a guy by the name of John Wesley. He's the founder of the Methodist denomination, and this is back in the 1700s. He began, he and his brother Charles Wesley was a prolific hymn writer, and they were religious guys. They were Anglicans, but they weren't spiritually regenerate, or I'll use the term born again yet. And they were actually on a ship traveling to the Americas from Europe, and as they're traveling, you can imagine in the 1700s, it's kind of like, all right, we'll see if we get there. And a hurricane hit their ship, and it split the mast, and there was chaos and pandemonium for everybody but a group of Moravians. They're German spirit-filled believers. And during the chaos, they were singing the Psalms. They were praising God. And even their children had perfect peace, which passes all understanding. And John Wesley saw that, and he says, that is different. And so it was transformative for him, because it wouldn't be long after that, as he saw the real deal, he goes, that's different. And it made him have an experience, a born-again, spirit-filled experience with Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to do. We're in Matthew 6, and so how do we handle difficult situations when anxiety is hitting the world? Here's how we hit it. We hit it with faith. We are a faith-filled people. We're a believing people. And so the world is anxious about everything, but we get to be different because we know something, or should I say someone, that we know while the chaos may be going on, We know that there's a sovereign, loving God. See, if you don't know that, you better be worried because, oh my God, the world is trying to kill us. And you have no hope because it depends on you, but not for us. See, we know we put our hope and our faith in God. And so here's what my first point is this, the reality that fear and faith are contagious. They just really are. They are contagious. Do you know that even in Deuteronomy chapter 20, it won't be on your screen, but it actually says this, that the Israeli army, when they go into battle, they make the announcement, if you're afraid or if you're anxious or nervous, go home now. And I just don't even know how that would work. Because they said this, that fear is contagious and they didn't want it to spread amongst the troops. But in the same way, faith and courage, it gets on you and it becomes contagious as well. And so in our day and age of social distancing, do you know the reason, if you're not familiar with that term, you will be. And it's the idea of creating distance between people so something that's highly contagious doesn't get on you. And so I want you to be aware of a few things. I want you to be aware and beware. Okay, so here's what I want you. I want you to be aware, watch the news, be updated, be informed, use wisdom. But you need to be aware of what's going on in your heart and in your soul. Because like I mentioned, I could feel myself becoming anxious and to a point where it's ungodly. It's like, hey, dum-dum, don't you know that there's a God who knows the beginning from the ending? Hey, remember me? I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And so it's important. And by the way, worry, stress, we just read about it. You can't do anything about it. Why worry about the hairs on your head? You can't do anything about it. All right, women are like, yes, I can. But no. And so I want you to be aware of what's true, but I want you to fill your heart with truth. And Jesus says that my word is truth. And so now more than ever, I want to encourage you to get the word of God in your heart and in your soul. Because the Bible says this, that faith, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's interesting. It says this, that God is known as the God who calls things that be not as though they were. And so sometimes, Christians can appear illogical. But the reality is we're not illogical, we're theological. In other words, there's a God that we're inserting into the equation. And so when you insert God into it, it changes the equation. And so God is the God who calls things that be not, though there might be things that are true, but God says, I have the final word. My word is truth. And so if you recall in the Bible, God called a man named Abram with no kids, that you're Abraham, you're the father of multitude. You know what? God had the last word. That there was a man named Gideon, who when God approaches him, he's hiding out in a wine press away from the Assyrians, and God calls him, you mighty man of valor. And guess what? He would become a mighty man of valor because God, and so we need to be the people that speak truth into this situation where there's panic and fear. We're going to speak faith into that thing. And so, listen, God is sovereign. He controls all of it. All of it. Which if you're a thinker, you would go, well, then why do we have coronavirus? And I'm glad you asked me that question because it's what I have next in my notes. You just need to go to Genesis chapter 3, and it's where Adam and Eve, we said, no, thank you. We don't need you, God. We'll be God. And so we decided to kick God out of our world. No, thank you, God. And so God, in his mercy, will keep common grace about our life. But every now and then, he'll pull back a little bit of that grace. And you don't want me? Then here's what you get. In a life pulled out from the fountain of life, it'll turn to death and chaos. And so we got what we asked for. And I don't know if you feel this, even as a nation, I'm so thankful that we have a national day of prayer. But you got to admit, just like Genesis 3, where he said, no, thank you, God, we're good, we got this. We've been trying to kick God out of our schools, out of our government, out of our culture, out of it. We don't even want his presence in our mind. We don't need you, God, until just that we peel back a little bit and we see what life is like without God, and then suddenly, let's pray. Let's pray. And so I'm thankful, and let's pray. And guess what? God is merciful. God is faithful if we'll repent and trust him. And so the Bible is pretty clear. If anything is good in your life, that's from God. And that has nothing to do with what you've earned or whatever, but it's by his grace. And so we really have been given a gift through this. I don't mean that to sound irresponsible or even irreligious, but I just want you to see that now suddenly we see the facade is kind of peeled away, that we realize, because we think we're in control. We really do. I think I'm in control until something like this happens, and I'm like, oh my gosh, in 72 hours, I'm like, everything is just gone crazy. Like, I don't know how many of you have been following your 401k or whatever you got. Like, I'm a retired guy. I retired back in 2003, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what has happened to my retirement? And just all these things are just been, it's been chaos. But everything good, you know, health is a gift from God. It's not a right. That food is a gift from God. It's not a right. Shelter is a gift from God. It's not a right. Everything good in your life is from the Lord. And we just read, see, the birds and the flowers, they're not deceived into thinking that they can make it without God. And so they're at rest and at ease because they know they must depend on God. And so do we. And here's another thing is, so we mentioned that not only is God sovereign and in control, which should minister peace to us because he's God and he's loving, but here's the second thing is the sovereign God, we just read it, he's called your father. How amazing is that? Like God can reveal himself as your boss, as your just your creator, all these different things, but he says, nope, I am your heavenly father. I want to share a story with you. There's a person, Diane Nyad. You know her, but you don't realize it right now, and I'll refresh your memory. So Diane Nyad, how about this? As a 9-year-old little girl, she was, you guys brought it up too soon. Oh, it's not up. Okay, good. Way to go, Dom. We're working together. Diane Nyad is a 9-year-old little girl. She's living in southern Florida, and she asked her mom, hey, she says, Mom, where's Cuba? And her mom said this to her. She says, if you just look off into the horizon, it's just past there. You could almost swim there. She took note of that. And then 20 years later, Diane Nyad would attempt to be the first woman to swim from Cuba to the coast of Florida. And so 20 years later, she tried it. She swam 72 miles, 42 hours straight at 29 years old, and strong winds forced her to give up. She would give up all the way until the age of 60, and she said she would try it again. And so she tried it. She had an asthma attack. As she participated in the swim, she had to give it up. Attempt number three, she was stung by two Portuguese man-of-wars. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds painful. The fourth attempt, she was stung by 9 jellyfish and had to abort her attempt again. Finally, August 31st, 2013, 110 miles, 53 straight hours of swimming. Did I mention she was in her 60s? She made it. And now we got the picture. Way to go, Dom. Wow. And there she is coming up. And if you're like me, I mean, I can't believe she's that old and then she did it. Not that that's old, because that's changing for me very quickly. But my question is, how did she persevere? Like, how did she keep picking herself up and keep trying again? How did she endure? And if I could give you a backstory, when she's a 5-year-old little girl, she was getting ready to go into preschool. Her dad was a Greek man, Aristotle Nyad, a very thick Greek accent. And he could tell his little girl was a little bit nervous about going to preschool. He put Diane aside and he says, sweetheart, tomorrow you will start school. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask all the little girls, is their name in the dictionary? And they will tell you no. And then I want you to show them your name, Nyad, in the dictionary. And you'll see the first definition. It means a Greek mythological creature that would protect the waters for the gods. Definition number 2 is this, a woman champion swimmer. This is your destiny, Diana. And so that was the thing. Her father speaking that word over her life. And do you know what? You're in a book too. It says in Psalm 139, it says that all your days have been written into God's book. And so God, he's speaking this over you, that listen, nothing can touch you, nothing can hurt you until God says it's time. Your heavenly Father has a destiny, purpose for you, and so that should breathe peace and rest into our situation. And then, and here's a point number two. So we have fear and faith are contagious. We need to be aware of that, and we want to spread faith to other people. Point number two is this. I want you to put God first in your life. We read, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's what I want you to, I want you to look at this. Okay, dial in on me, and here's what it is. You're going to hear from the prophet Denzel Washington this morning. Is that okay? All right, let's roll them, Dom.
Number one, put God first. Put God first in everything you do. Everything that you think you see in me, everything that I've accomplished, everything that you think I have, and I have a few things. Everything that I have is by the grace of God. Understand that. It's a gift. 40 years ago, March 27th, 1975, it was 40 years ago, just this past March, I was flunking out of college. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I hope none of you can relate. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I was sitting in my mother's beauty shop. They still call it beauty shop now? What they call it now? Yeah, I was sitting in the beauty parlor. I was sitting in my mother's beauty parlor, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I see behind me this woman under the dryer. And every time she looked up, she was looking at me, just looking me in the eye. And I didn't know who she was, and I said, you know, she said, somebody give me a pen, give me a pencil, I have a prophecy. March 27, 1975, she said, boy, you are going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Now, mind you, I was flunked out of college. I'm thinking about joining the army. I didn't know what I was going to do, and she's telling me I'm going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Well, I have traveled the world, and I have spoke to millions of people. But that's not the most important thing, the success that I had. The most important thing is that what she taught me and what she told me that day has stayed with me since. I've been protected. I've been directed. I've been corrected. I've kept God in my life, and has kept me humble. I didn't always stick with him, but he always stuck with me. So stick with him in everything you do. If you think you want to do what you think I've done, then do what I've done and stick with God.
Amen, amen. Come on, who knew Denzel had some preach on him like that, right? So here's what we're saying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What we're saying is, and what Denzel is referencing, you need to put God on the forefront of your mind and of your thinking. And listen, I know, probably know people that are just going through it right now. Like, there's people that have lost so much money. People are afraid of losing their job. People are afraid of getting ill or getting sick, or all these different things. They're real. I don't want to just poo-poo them away. But here's what I do. Don't let circumstances frame or define God, but allow God first, and then let God define your circumstances and your situation. Like, when you put God into the equation, it just changes. So you got Lazarus, he's dead. He's been dead for 4 days, Jesus. But do you know Jesus changes the equation? That Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, but Jesus enters the equation and it changes. Time and time again, the equation changes if we can put Jesus first place in our life. And then here's what I want us to do here this morning is, the president has declared a state of emergency, but I want to make a declaration over our church and over you watching, is we're declaring a state of faith. Amen. over this church family for the next 30 days. Like, we are going to be a faith-speaking people, that we're going to speak the truth of God's word and not just our circumstances. And here's what I want to tell you what I mean. Like, listen, you have a choice what you want to believe and what you want to emphasize. You can emphasize all that's wrong and all that's broken, or you can choose to emphasize what's good. So here's what I know. If you're forbidden to go to work or whatever, here's what I'm believing. You're going to get time with your family that you never imagined you can have. Here's what happens. Hey, you lose your job. Here's what I'm believing. You're going to get a better job, and you're going to get a raise through this thing. I'm going to choose to see what's good in this and emphasize that. I want to share with you. And I've been bombarded this week with texts and all these things. And then this morning, before I came to service, I got this text from someone in our church, and I want to read it. This is what I'm talking about. It says, "Good morning, Pastor Adam. I know it's a tough time, and you will say what God has placed in your heart today. We needed a revival, and God is making everyone in the country slow down and do a check on their lives and priorities, and making people realize their lives can change in an instant. Our country has been so divided. He needs to pull us together, and we weren't doing it on our own. It's a tough time, but God placed you here for many reasons. Your sermon will reach everyone. You got this." And so this is what we're going to do. We are going to be a people of faith that emphasize what's good and what's right. Do you guys know this, that 80% of your thoughts are naturally negative? And there's a survival mechanism to that. It's good to be aware of what's broken, because, hey, we want to survive. But if that's the case, how much more do we need to flood our mind with what's good, what's right? And so, listen, you need to be able to see what's wrong in order to survive. But if you want to thrive, you have to fight to see what's right and what's good. And we're going to be a thriving people through this. Third and last point is this. We read it. I'm going to say it a little bit different than Paul. Win today and let God handle tomorrow. Win today and let God handle tomorrow. Because faith is now. Faith is now. This is the only thing we have. Tomorrow is God's business. The past is God's business, but God's given us right now. And so I'm going to share with you now. All our men know the Trinity of Guy movies, but do you know there is a Trinity in the Rocky saga? We know this, right? And the only good ones are Rocky 1, 2, and 3. Just so you know, the rest are somewhat heretical. I thought Creed kind of came through a little bit. But so 1, 2, and 3. And if you remember Rocky 3, if you don't, you're going to have plenty of time to watch the whole thing at your house as you binge watch things. But if you remember Rocky 3, he has a fight against Clubber Lang. We would know him later as Mr. T. I pity the fool. And so, and then Rocky just gets worked. And he has this inner turmoil that he's afraid. For the first time in my life, I'm afraid. And then he goes through all this fighting and training until he becomes the fight. And then he sees suddenly he's just taking the beating from Clubber Lang again. And do you remember the scene where like one of Rocky's trainers is like, "Oh my gosh, he's getting killed." And do you remember Paulie's response? "No, no, 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 he's getting mad, he's getting mad." And then suddenly he goes in there, he's like, "Come on, you ain't so bad, ain't so bad, you ain't nothing." And so, did you like that? That was like, that's something I had. It was rising up. And so here's what we realize. Like, sometimes you got to get in the face of your fears. And you got to tell, "You ain't so bad, you ain't so bad, you ain't nothing." Like, there's when fears come into your life, you got to practice this exercise. I'm not sure if you've done this. What if, so what? What if, so what? Let me give you some of them. What if I get corona? So what? We're going to believe, and God's going to heal you. What if I lose my job? Well, we're going to believe that God's going to give you a new and better job with better wages. We're going to believe. What if I run out of food? Then so what? We're going to fast or go on a diet, okay? But what? And then here's my last one. What if I die? A couple things I'd like to speak to that. I got news for you. We're all going to die, all right? Here's number two is this. Paul would say this, so what? For me, to live is Christ and to die means gain. And if you're familiar with the book, as you open up your Bible, you realize this, that the first 10 seconds in glory will make all your sorrows, all your suffering vanish to the point where you're like, what? What? When you feel your resurrected body surging with power, joy unspeakable, that suddenly it will vanish from your memory. Paul will say it like this, what can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Can distress, disease, famine, corona, and here's what he says, this is, in all these things, we are, and I think, Dom, we have the word here, we are hooper nikeo, hooper nikeo. It means hooper, it means extreme, more than enough. Nikeo, it's where we get the word Nike. It means victory. We are more than conquerors, more than victorious through the one who loved us.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.